Blog Talk Radio.
And now, Tom Farinella.
Hello, everybody. Yes, indeed, it is I, Tom Farinella. I am back from the hiatus, if you will. This is the most intriguing broadcast in America. You know, the original name was, this is a show for people who just get it. And what does that mean? Well, I have a great example all across the board. Ah, it's just so good to be back behind the microphone talking to you. You know, I was inspired today to jump back on the mic and to get back into the saddle and into the thing, into the program, because I just, no, we're not going to do that. But it's stuff like this that makes me say we don't need to do that. But I was happy to get back to the program today because it's been a while, and I'm just in a cantankerous mood. You know, you ever just in one of those moods where you really have to talk yourself down from overreacting to everything? Oh, yeah. Sorry, we're not in a hurricane. That's my fan blowing in the studio because it was very warm in here. Here we are in New York City, and the weather seems to be, it broke finally. We were in the middle of a heat wave, but who cares about the weather, right? But anyway, this show is about people who just get it. What do I mean by get it? You know, I had a great time while I was off the air, and because I was doing a lot of observing, and when you observe people, you slowly realize. I don't think it's slow. I think it's a rapid realization. You have a rapid realization that the world may not be so simple. Absolutely not. By the way, if you just joined us, the Tom Farinella Show, 347-326-9037. The phone line's open. Why don't you give us a buzz, and we would love to have you on the show. The chat session's open if you want to jump in and chat. Please feel free to do so. There's probably a lot of blanks. We've been shooting blanks for the last couple of weeks. I have to get rid of those on the on my profile, I guess, because I guess if people want to hear the latest show, they're hearing just dead air. Nothing worse, right? So when you're observing things and you realize that the rest of the world may not necessarily think like you do, and I'm not talking politically. I'm not talking. I'm talking socially. And what does that mean? Well, basically, what I've experienced is there's a couple of categories of people. You have moms and their children. Always a wonderful sight. Then you have moms and dads with their children. Or just moms and dads. And then you have, you know, single people. Is that groundbreaking? No, but what I have come to learn is that when I try to make common sense of the political world, it also applies in the social world, social interaction. And the best way I can really demonstrate that is by giving the example, I was in a supermarket, okay, and I was waiting online. And I go into the supermarket almost daily, so they know who I am. I know who the checkout people are. They know who I am. And so I go in daily, and what happens is I'm a familiar guy. I'm a regular, right? So by virtue of the fact of being a regular, I know certain checkout clerks' habits. I know their habits and the things that they do and the way that they are. There are some that are very laid back, check you out, and let you go. There are others that are very technical. If you're buying alcohol, I mean, I guess every clerk has to be technical with that, but you know, that has to be bagged, and or if you're buying a soda, you know, a 16-ounce soda and you want to drink it, you have to keep it in the bag on the door, all the way out the door, which is, you know, right? I mean, absurd. An absurd notion. So one night I'm in the store, and I buy a Diet Coke. And I want Diet Coke to sponsor me one day, so I'm going to say Diet Coke. By the way, I was one of those morons in New York City, and I could say that because I'm criticizing myself, but I was one of those morons who waited multiple hours for the new iPhone, and, you know, I've never experienced anything like it before, and I'm not one of these technical people. I technology is it's part of my business and what I do for a living. It facilitates my being able to make money quicker or easier rather than having to type everything out. But I'm not a techno geek. I don't sit around going, oh God, I can't wait for that new iPhone to come out. I'm gonna mark July 11th on my calendar, and I'm gonna be there at 7:43. I'll be there 3 days in advance just to make sure I get the first one. That's not me. I could really care less, especially when the greater public at large likes something. I have a tendency to dislike it instantly. Yeah, it's true. I do not like anything the public likes. So that's probably why I like George Bush, because the whole world hates George Bush. So I could not be like one of them and hate George Bush. So you know, if you tuned in, I don't hate George Bush. Do I like some of the things he does? Probably not. Do I like most of the things he does? Let's not get into politics. But going back to where we were, we'll get into the iPhone later, but I was in this particular supermarket one evening, and I attempted to purchase a Diet Coke. I did purchase a Diet Coke. Now, my intention when I buy a 16-ounce soda in a supermarket at 2 o'clock in the morning is to drink it. It's not to take it home and put it in the refrigerator and to save it. I want it right then and there now because I'm thirsty. I had various other items as well. So when I took, so the soda was rung first, and I took the soda, and I opened it. The guy took the soda back from me, and he said, all items must be in a bag. I said, excuse me? You cannot leave the store if the item is not in the bag. So I took the darn soda right out of the bag, and I said, well, make me leave this store with the soda in the bag. I proceeded to drink as he checked me out, actually I left because I was finished. So I left. I said to him, you know, I come in here every single night, and you have bothered me about this. You really have to bother me about this, you know, because usually it's about 2 a.m. I'm coming home from work. I'm exhausted. I'm irritated. I'm hungry. Whatever. I got to deal with this guy telling me I have to take a 16-ounce Diet Coke and bring it outside in a bag? What the hell is going on? This is what I mean. Well, it gets better. So about 3 days later, or maybe a week later, or whatever later, I went to the checkout again. And yes, it's the same charming clerk that I had the last time. It's one of these guys who looks down at the register, doesn't look at you, just keeps on scanning and punching, which is fine. But on this particular occasion, the store was a little busy. And as a result of it being busy, there was a line, which is not uncommon, but what are you going to do? Lines exist, right? And when I was standing there, while I was standing there, there was a woman in this particular supermarket. Again, this particular supermarket, it is unique to itself because it is where I was. There was a woman in a, you know, the carriages, you know, the carts now, they're like kid cars. So it's like a toy plastic car that you'd buy your kid at Toys R Us, like built into a shopping cart. The whole thing is just whatever. It's wonderful. You know, I guess anything to help mom while she's trying to shop. And it just adds as another distraction. It's problematic. And this is a demonstration why. So I'm standing there on the line, and the guy is there. He's checking it out, and, you know, he's hassling everybody that comes by. Now, as I'm standing there, I'm watching the mother with a child on this, like, car. Now, the top part of the car, you know, it's one of those plastic cars with, like, an actual hood. So the plastic hood is almost to the top of the conveyor belt where you put your groceries, if you can imagine that. Now, the kid proceeds to climb, and now he's sitting on top of the plastic roof of this car, which is like oval shape. So, you know, it'll take just any slight little situation, and he's going for a slide. And he's not, he's, you know, there's just grocery racks and there's just crazy things all around. You know, wherever he lands, he's going to be hurt. And it's serious. I'm not making light of this. This is a serious situation. And the mother's just, she's not even in this lifetime. She's not even she's not even on this planet. She's not in the solar system. She's somewhere in way left field, way out there. Just like picking the daisies. And this kid is bouncing around. I'm just waiting. Well, nothing happens. And now it's her turn. Now the kid goes from the roof of the car to the conveyor belt. And now the kid's sitting on the conveyor belt. And now Mr. Stickler, for having to carry a groceries out in a bag, whether it's a pack of gum, a Diet Coke, or whatever, he's not saying a word. And I'm just sitting there. I'm waiting, because you know why? They happen to have a sale on Diet Coke. This time it was bottles, 2-liter bottles. I think it was like 4 for $5. And I had 4 of them. And in the store policy, isn't it sick that I know the store policy? The store policy is you can't just take one, scan it in, and punch in the 3 other bottles. All 4 bottles must be scanned. Yeah, for real. One night I was there, and another clerk scanned 100 bottles of some Italian soda. I don't even know what it was, like, whatever. Oh, yeah, cases. The woman had, like, 5 cases of the soda, and she was scanning one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And then she had a bag of beans. I guess she was getting ready for Christmas or Easter, whatever the heck it was, and candy, one after the other, after the other. I mean, I was ready to just scream. So now I know he's going to give me a problem about this. So I'm standing there. I'm tired. I really don't feel like dealing with this guy, this clerk who's just not personable at all. And so the kid's on the conveyor belt now in the supermarket. If you just joined us, this is the Tom Farinella Show. the most intriguing broadcast in America. We're just talking about common sense and how socially we as people are also political animals. And I'm just talking about my experience in a particular grocery store where I have an anal retentive clerk who seems to enforce the policy against me, but when a nice, beautiful soccer mom has her kid on a conveyor belt, well, the kid goes all the way. The clerk lets the conveyor belt go all the way to him. Now, God, not to mention, God knows what's been on that conveyor belt. So the mother first has the kid on the toy, which has like the oval roof that, you know, he was ready to go at any time. And he was like, Then she allows her child to get on a conveyor, a dirty, filthy, disgusting conveyor belt that just goes around with food and all kinds of things all day long. And I was just, I was losing my mind. Because, you know, I'm a lawyer and I know that if that kid went off the roof of the cart, or if the kid, something happens with this conveyor belt where this kid's skin ends up getting pinched or he gets stuck in there somehow, there's going to be bloody hell to pay. And the store is going to be liable. So me, I can't walk out of the store with a 16-ounce Diet Coke without the man trying to grab the soda, put it back in the bag, and tell me I have to leave with all items in a bag. But this woman can have her kid flying across a conveyor belt, gliding across the conveyor belt, which if an accident occurs, could cost the company millions of dollars. Yeah, yeah. A little pinch to a kid, a scar for life, that's like three. Oh, millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars. So now I take note of all this, and I'm just waiting. Because I have my four bottles of Diet Coke, and I know he's going to give me a hassle. He doesn't say a word to the mother with the kid on the conveyor belt. Not a word. Not a single word. He smiles to her. He makes eye contact with me. The guy sticks his head into the register, doesn't look at me, won't say hello, nothing. So I guess the difference is that, you know, you're a beautiful woman. I guess that's why. I don't know. But the point of it is, this guy's a miserable human being to me. But all of a sudden now, he has a different standard for women that he likes, that are attractive to his eye. And now I feel like I'm being discriminated against. And now I'm irritated. Okay? Because I'm in there every damn night. So, kid gets off the conveyor belt. Actually, goes from the conveyor belt to the top of the car, down. It knocked on wood that nothing happened to the kid. I was hoping nothing did, but I was worried for the kid. It's just not common sense, see? And that's what this show is about, for people who just get it. And this woman just didn't get it. She didn't get that she has a kid bouncing around the top of an oval cart, which he could have went flying at any moment. She doesn't get the fact that you don't put your child on a dirty, filthy, disgusting conveyor belt in a supermarket that could have had meats and who knows what on there, okay? And now I have to deal with a clerk who doesn't get the fact that I'm a working guy and maybe the store policy of having to leave with everything in the bag really doesn't apply to a 16-ounce Diet Coke. He's being a little overdramatic in the application of his rule. So I'm waiting. Oh, and I'm waiting. So kid and mom leave about time. After they spend 15 minutes trying to figure out the debit card machine. You ever notice that too, folks? You ever realize that, like, people go into the store and they're going to pay for something. They're going to pay for something with a debit card, but it looks like they've never used it before. Like, it's the first time that they're actually using this debit card. Oh, let me look at this screen. Let me look at the numbers. Is this what do I press? Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? And you have to sit there. I mean, you have to be civil. You can't be, you know, screaming at everybody, because you would literally be screaming at everybody. It is about one out of every 10 times that if I'm standing on any kind of a line anywhere, the person knows how to use that debit machine. And you know it's not the first time. Because every single time I see these people, it can't be the first time. You know what kind of odds that would be? That every time I come across somebody using a debit card machine, it would be their first time. But Lord have mercy, they make, oh my God, this machine. And the older people, forget it. Older people, God forgive me. But they really, what the, do I press this one, credit or debit or what? Have you ever used it before? You were here last night doing the same thing. You know, that it's like whatever. So after she goes through that routine of figuring out how to use the debit card once again for the 78th time in her life, she leaves. And there we are, me and him. It's time for the showdown. Because now I'm steaming. I'm pissed off that I've had to watch this woman do whatever she wants. Unbothered. She had unfettered discretion to roam free of that shopping aisle, or that little the checkout aisle section. And me, as soon as I get there, it is doomsday. So I proceed to put my soda onto the conveyor belt one at a time. Actually, I leave the soda for last because I'm going to take some enjoyment in this. Once again, if you just joined us, this is the Tom Farinella Show right here at Tap Talk, blogtalkradio.com. And I'm just trying to relate social and political norms, and I'm just going through what it's like in a supermarket and the lack of common sense throughout. And then it sort of equates to the political world. But I have this great, you know, this great dilemma because now I've watched this woman, this blonde-haired woman. So if you just joined us, I had a blonde-haired woman, beautiful woman with her kid, doing whatever she wants. The kid was bouncing all around on top of the cart. Then the kid sat on the conveyor belt that takes the food to the checkout guy. And the night before, I was in the store with this particular checkout guy or whatever, and I was told that I could not leave the store with my 16-ounce Diet Coke unless it was in the bag, and I had to pull it out of the man's hand and have a fight with him because it was store policy. The guy's quoting store policy to me at 2 o'clock in the morning over a 16-ounce Diet Coke. I told the guy where to go. So a few nights later, I see this woman, there are kids bouncing all over the place, on the conveyor belt, all the way through. He smiles at her, looks at her. Oh, she doesn't do anything wrong. Now the kid, you know, goes across the conveyor belt who could have been marred for life, which would have been $1 million. They would own the supermarket chain. And now here I am. I have 4 bottles of Diet Coke, and I know what he's going to say. Oh, no, 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 no. Store policy is we can't take just one. We need all 4. So what happens is I look at him. Store policy. Back with that goddamn store policy again. And this sets me off. I said store policy? How you're going to quote store policy to me just after that woman with her kid was bouncing all over this joint? You're going to start quoting store policy? I say, are you in your mind? Ooh, she wouldn't listen to me. I said, I didn't hear you open up your mouth and tell her to get the kid off the conveyor belt. Lord knows if something happened to that kid, you and the rest of the store would be multi-million dollar responsible. Anyway, so he basically just checked me out and I left. But that's the point. You see, these people don't get it. They apply double standards. where they want. I have to quote store policy, but the pretty girl can go. There's no store policy. And I equate this to politics. This is the way the liberals are. If you had to give me a bet, or give me odds on what chance that this woman was a pain in the ass liberal, I would have wagered, I would have said it was even, 1-to-1, no doubt, that she's a liberal. 2-to-1 odds? I don't know. I don't work well with odds. But that's the way liberals are. You know, the Democrats, you watch them. I don't care about Republicans. I'm a Republican. Okay? So if you're listening to me say, oh, what about Republicans? I don't care. The Republicans are, they are like over there. Okay? The Republicans are, they're not part of the conversation. They're irrelevant anyway. They don't stand up for themselves. They don't speak out against them. They don't speak out against the things that they believe in. They cave on every issue because they just don't want to fight. So when it comes to Republicans, bah. They're not even in this discussion. But it's the liberals that are scared. See, the liberals are like this lady in the store. The liberals want to apply things to their standard. They want to make the rules, but not abide by them. Ah. This is why I'm in a world by myself. If you've just joined us, this is the Tom Farinella Show, right here at blogtalkradio.com. And if you want to give us a call, the number is, of course, 347-326-9036. 347-326-9036. We'd love to hear from you. Anyway, so When you're dealing with social, when you deal with people, they are both social and political animals. And your patience will be tested to the end. There's no question about that. But getting back to the liberals, what I see is happening right now in American politics is dangerous. Actually, I got to give the Republicans a little respect. The group of Republicans that chose not to go home for recess and protest the fact that the United States Senate and the United States, oh, I'm sorry, Nancy Pelosi, there was a House of Representatives, shut down the House of Representatives, closed the television cameras, and turned off all the lights because she said it was recess. And these guys stayed, I think, 100 or so. I give them credit. That's standing up for yourself. That's speaking out. That's inspiring. It is. I haven't been inspired by a politician since this. I can't remember the last time I was. Certainly not Obama. Boy, is he becoming a complicated animal. I mean, the longer since I've been away, the worse it seems it's gotten for him. I mean, he is just toeing the line in everything he says. And that's simply because he doesn't have an identity. Because he's trying to pull the Bill Clinton, just go where the public opinion lies, and that's where we'll go. But it doesn't work like that. And eventually people are going to see the true him. I think voters are starting to come around to that. Again, not that John McCain offers us anything more, but I don't know what, I want you liberals, if you're listening out there and you're a liberal, and you have, I want to hear three sound ideas that Obama has that sound, I'm sorry, that seem to be good from your standpoint. Oh, I like these three positions that he's taken. And I'd like to hear what you have to say about that. Because when you break it down, I guarantee at some point he's held the opposite position of each position, of his current position, at some point. All of a sudden now, There's a big move that this surge is working even better than President Bush or John McCain ever imagined. But we're gonna take a quick break. We have a little treat for you. We actually got in. We heard some, or we were able to get some sound from a church in Harlem where just many popular Democrats were appearing. So let's take a look. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Farinella Show, the most intriguing broadcast in America. For people that just get it, if you just joined us, we're going to go to listen to a church sermon that we've uncovered somewhere.
Hi, welcome to
Barack Obama, his Democratic nominee, or as we say, no way. For a distinguished friend of mine, give the support, Congressman, from Harlem, New York, none other than Joe Rangel. Reverend, I love to thank you very much for asking me to come here today. Even though we all know that Barack Obama is a Democratic nominee, or as we say in Harlem, he's the jig. Thank you very much, Reverend. It's a distinct pleasure and honor for me to be here. As you know, I am Congressman Randall. I control all the money that's going on in Congress right now. I'm the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, which means every dime that gets spent in the Congress has to pass through my very sticky fingers. I'll make sure, if you help me make sure, that Harlem gets all the money it deserves and more, if we make Hillary the presumptive nominee in favor of us. Although we all do acknowledge that he is a presumptive nominee, there's no denying it. No denying at all. As we say in the Harlem, he's the man. That's right. I've never been so good with the ghetto tour, but I can tell you one thing. I know how to walk the walk. We are the system. And there's a reason why every single election you people, you find people of Harlem re-elect me with 97.9% of the vote. It's because I'm the only guy who ever runs this shit. But nevertheless, we have to stand behind Mr. Hillary. And now it's my honor to introduce to you the real first black president of the United States. Yes, the distinguished and honored President Bill Clinton.
How grateful I am to be here. You know, Hillary and I, we're trying hard to make sense of all this. I won't talk to that guy about it. He's too much, you know. I don't know what to make of all this. He's a second-rate guy. Hillary and I came here, and would you know, we brought with us today a very white guy. That's right. The white guy is made. He's my good friend. He's adopted me like a son. He was the guy I beat to get in the office. Now he's my white father. I never met him. Ladies and gentlemen, George H.W. Bush.
Thank you, Bill. Not very often that I come to these types of hollow settings where everything is so grand and superb. And I know that America needs a good woman. And even though I'm a Republican, I still say it's not prudent for me to be here, but I come. So I say, let's say we love America. And for that reason, it's not prudent for me to take any sides, but I can think and understand why I'm here. But I thank you very much for having me.
All righty.
So you have it, ladies and gentlemen. When that coffer comes around, when that plate, that silver plate, that silver plate comes around, you know what you gotta do. You gotta make sure Sister Hillary gets her campaign back to zero. She owe $11 million, we'll give her $12 million. Nay, we'll give her $30 million. 40, 50, whatever we want. We're the people of God. So when you think about that donation, wherever you need a new stand, wherever you need a new suit or tent, wherever you need the money, make sure that coffer is filled. And remember, goddamn, Obama. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah.
Mike, this is Dell. Calling for your mother.
And now, back to Tom Farinella. And now...
All right, there you go. You have a little reverend stuff going on there. This is the Tom Farinella radio program right here at Tap Talk. Facebook.com used to be. We're going to get that back up someday soon, right?
I think it's good. Okay.
Yep, we will. In the meantime, I think you can email me, thomas@tapsoft.com. I'll get it somewhere. BlogTalkRadio.com, Tom Farinella Radio Show, the most intriguing broadcast in America. Ah, so good to have you all aboard. We're getting, just about getting ready to wrap up this hour. So we had a lot of fun this hour. I enjoyed myself. I sure hope you enjoyed yourself. Coming up next hour, I have no idea. Didn't plan the show. Came out here on a whim. Haven't been out here in months. But, we'll see. I'll see what I can put together. This is good, like, outro. Except that we don't have a 4-minute outro, right? No? Yeah. 4-minute outro. Intro, outro, intro. Next hour will be more political. Can you be more political than that? All right, kids, stand by. We'll be right back. The Tom Farinella Show. If you want to give us a call, 347-326-9037. Yep. This is another bit coming up. This is a Hillary bit. We like Hillary. We love Hillary. Don't you? Be right back.
This is Chris Matthews. Now we have a very special show for you because you got the only female candidate who got jumped by all the boys in the last presidential debate, Hillary Clinton. Presidential candidate Clinton, welcome to Highball. Is it true that the men became bi boys when they attacked you, the only woman, after the debate?
If all that were proven true, I think that would be a very serious offense.
Wow, holy cow. Man, what an answer. So, let us know, are you all on the same team or what? As how Dean got you guys going crazy trying to go after you and drop an ambush and bomb out your campaign?
You know, I just want our country to start having a conversation where people start talking to each other again and where we are listening to each other and where we try to solve the problems we have, because we have a lot of big problems. Mm-hmm. And we can do it. I mean, there's no reason we can't. I mean, we're able to do anything we put our minds to it, but it requires everybody sort of working together and coming together about it.
I know. Can't we just all get along? I agree with you, Senator Clinton. My God. Holy Katrina. What are they thinking? Why is this happening to you?
This vast right-wing conspiracy that has been...
Oh, no. Not that again. I thought we got rid of that a long time ago. So... tell us what it is that you think is the best way to handle this up-and-coming debate.
I think it's been very unfortunate that, you know, after 9/11, the entire country was united and the entire world was really on our side, with, you know, few exceptions of the bad guys who everybody was against. And we've lost a lot of that, and we need to regain it, because we'll do better if we have people rooting for us. And if we're all trying to figure out how to, you know, deal with health care and energy and all the rest of the issues at home. So I think we've missed some opportunities the last couple of years, but that's retrievable. We just need to put our mind to it.
Man, all the people who ran for president stand up to sound that good. You're so great. You're the smartest woman in the world. So, one last question, because I know you're short on time, and we so appreciate you coming here and hopping over Chris Nostis. I was got a frog in my throat. I have the smartest woman in the world right here with Chris Nostis and hopping. Anyway, Madam First Lady, great son from New York. One last question. Here we go. What do you think about Oprah? Is this such a tragedy? Oh, man. Oh, this is Chris Matthews. Thank you so much, Senator Clinton, for coming on. You're the greatest woman in the world. Anyway, next, coming up.
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are.
And now, here's Tom Farinella. And now, Tom Farinella.
Yes, it is the most intriguing broadcast in America, and it is I, Tom Farinella. Hello and welcome to the second hour of the program. Sorry. So great to have you aboard here. You want to give us a call, 347-326-9037. I'm not going to be here very long. I really didn't want to do a second hour tonight. But it's on the menu. So if you want to give us a call right now, 347-326-9037, we'd be very delighted to hear from you. And didn't we hear that already? That studio engineer of mine just likes to keep on going. So, you know, it's summertime. I don't like when it starts getting dark earlier. It's starting to get dark earlier. I don't like that. I don't know. I like the sunlight. I think it's good. It's all dark and depressing. All this back-to-school stuff. I mean, I went over to Staples to pick up something, and it was like they were giving things away. What the hell is going on here? What are they giving away here today? And it was just back-to-school sale. People running to Staples. The parking lot was filled. That's another thing. Everybody's saying, oh, gas prices are so high, and, oh, consumer spending is so down. Well, there are two things that I happen to do and have done for the last 4 years on a very regular basis. One is drive and spend. And I'll tell you one thing. Wherever I go in my car, there's always, always a lot of people. Maybe there's no reduction in traffic. I don't know because I live in New York and it's, you know, people living on top of people. But the bottom line is that, and whenever I go to a store, there's always lines. If you listen to the first hour, perhaps they're aligned because of those wonderful people who still haven't figured out how to use a debit machine or a credit card machine at the checkout counter anywhere. you know, and I just wonder. I wonder where we're going. I wonder what's going to happen. Because there are a lot of people in the world who don't care about anything but themselves. And maybe I opened the show with the story about the woman and her kid. She just had no regard for the people around her. I mean, we would all have to be witnesses. We'd all have to be witnesses in observing her lack of caring. But that's a liberal for you. And I told you that as soon as I saw her kid bouncing all over the place and riding on the conveyor belt and everything else, I knew she was a liberal. Yep. Well, if you just joined, this is the Tom Farinella Show. The most intriguing broadcast in America for people who just get it. And it's about a show about common sense. I operate from the standpoint of common sense. I derive my politics from a standpoint of common sense. And that's why when I look at the Democrats right now and the gas price issue, it doesn't make sense. And they're shooting themselves in the foot. They don't even know it, or they just don't care. One or the other. Or it's intentional. Something's not right. But now they're complaining that the gas prices, as a result of the gas prices being too high, that there's less people now on the road, which I just indicated I haven't seen this to be the case, but they say, you know, the government and their polls and some agency that gets paid a lot of money to track these things says that people are spending less at the pumps and driving less. Now the next big problem is tolls. The tolls. The states are now losing money because the toll roads are not generating the same amount of revenue as they once were when people were driving. So now what do? You don't want people to drive because of the environment and because the gas prices are so high because they just can't afford it. I mean, half the issue is the environmental issue, of course. Don't drive. Reduce your carbon emission. Reduce your carbon footprint, dude. Love, peace, happiness, man. Reduce that footprint. I'll tell you where I could put a footprint. A carbon footprint. Carbon footprint has as much validity. I can't even, there's not even a comparison because it's so absurd. You know, it has as much validity as, you know, Gorbachev being able to be a good American president. I don't know if that made sense. For some reason, Gorbachev's in my head. But he's been, I've just been thinking about Gorbachev. I don't know why. I can't figure. Not fantasize, no. Just thinking about what that sexy nap on his head or whatever he had going on there, that mark. Watch out. The Birthmark Coalition of America is going to call up and say that I've insulted them. There's another thing too. You can't say anything anymore. If you say something too close to the line, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a hate monger. You're anything other than who you are. We're just setting ourselves, what we're doing is we're setting little traps for ourselves. Yeah. I think it's all planned by the government, because now the government can convince us that the toll revenue is down. They've got to make that revenue up somewhere. And being that there were so many conscious drivers who stopped driving, we're now going to consider that a luxury, and we're going to raise the gas tax on those of you who are still driving. You know what I would love to see? I would really die to see. I mean die. To see, like, the state of New Jersey, for example, because wherever you go in that state, wherever you drive your car in that state, there is a toll, whether it's the Garden State Parkway or the New Jersey Turnpike. Those are the two major interchanges in the state of New Jersey that basically lead to everywhere. And I would love to see every single driver go on strike for one day and to have the state of New Jersey with no toll revenue. Yeah. Because now they want to, in the state of Jersey, gas prices have remained, I don't know, I guess around the norm, which is about between 390 and 4 something. I don't know if it broke $4 in Jersey. If it did, what by how much? But it's certainly cheaper than Connecticut and New York, the states that surround it, because I'm in New York. So now they want to take the one good thing about the damn state and wreck it. New Jersey has taxed everything. They've taxed everything to an oblivion. It's just one big taxed state. This is why I cannot fathom why the government must charge an income tax, a state income tax, on top of all the revenue it receives from every other tax. The state tax from the cell phone, the state tax from the landline, the state tax from the cable, the state tax from the school, the state tax from everything. You walk out your door in the state of New Jersey and you're taxed. Soon they're going to be charging tolls for you to leave your house. I better be careful, because that's going to end up being, you know, watch. They'll get back out there. If you want to give us a call, do so at 347-326-9037. So this new iPhone thing, really, it's absolutely just, I mean, again, as somebody who's not a technology person, I mean, this thing, I mean, I have the BlackBerry. And as I'm doing it now, the ability to just touch your little screen and get rid of emails you don't want is a blessing. Because the BlackBerry is very much like a computer where, you know, you have to, you know, it takes some effort to get rid of email and stuff. Not this thing. This thing is great. Whoops. Something just happened. I don't know if I got a message or a text or something, but the beat. I'm deleting my emails right now. It's like that, I thought that cable access, when there was a cable access station in New York that was actually relatively popular. And it had two hosts that stood out and became sort of like cult icons. One was a guy by the name of Al Goldstein, and the other was a woman by the name of Robin Bird. She had a sex show. It is as bizarre as it sounds. And let me tell you one thing. The last thing that you thought about when you looked at this woman was sex. No, I'm telling you. No, she was not like the woman in the supermarket who was pleasing to the eye. And her thing was that she used to do her makeup on the air. So that was, you know, sort of like, did you see Robin tonight doing her makeup? She was so funny. And I don't know who would be saying this, but, you know, it was just a unique thing to do on the air. But the other guy, Al Goldstein, would go through his Palm Pilot. Remember, Palm Pilots, when they first came out, they were revolutionary because they were the first real PDA. What the hell does PDA even stand for? If you know, 347-326-9037. Let's look this up. Hold on. We need to find out. You see, the problem is my producers and everybody else are off. So I have to look up what PDA stands for. So I guess we can go to Google. Google wants to put an ad in the show, please do. We'll do Wikipedia, which is just, it's really not that great of a source, but we'll have fun with it. We'll go to Wikipedia. You're hearing the clicks because I do everything through my computer. I know I'm not a computer person, but I operate from a stand mic, so I don't like the way the phone sounds. I think we're English still. Soon we're going to be having to check Spanish. I don't know if I should say that. Personal digital assistant. You see, a PDA is a personal digital. I didn't know that. There we go. We've learned something new today on the Tom Farinello Show, that the PDA stands for personal digital assistant. I'm not in the mood to talk about politics. If you just tuned in to the Tom Farinello Show, yeah, we're supposed to be talking about Obama and Hillary. And well, Hillary's like yesterday's news. But Obama and McCain, until they choose their vice president, is really what else is there to say about them? They're kind of both boring, don't you agree? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot. Osama is the next God, or is God, or is working with God, or is one of his angels, or something or another. But you can't say anything negative about Obama. Who cares? Do you really think Obama's going to get anything accomplished if he becomes president? He's already switched his position on the war in Iraq. Mr. Obama, who is Mr. Anti-Iraq, is now all of a sudden the surge working. Look at that. How do you like that? The surge is working. Oh, did he vote for the surge? I'm surprised we haven't gotten I voted for the surge before I knew it would work. Sort of like a carry, you know, I voted for it before against it and whatnot. But what is he going to do? Him and the Democratic Congress are potentially dangerous, though. That Nancy Pelosi, she's a dictator in the making. He's a dictator in the making. Harry Reid, dictator in the making. These are people who want things their way only. And if you disagree with them, you're wrong. You're not reasonable. You're not rational. And you know what? This is very communist-like, because what communism does is it convinces you that your point of view is arcane. It brainwashes you to think that you're thinking wrong thoughts. And then more of these pleasant people like Harry Reid and the Messiah, Obama, Nancy Pelosi. If you notice, they speak very low. Harry Reid talks like this. The single greatest, whatever thing he said about global warming, the single greatest enemy or something or another. But he speaks very, very faint, very soft, very gentle voice. If you listen to Nancy Pelosi, Obama's very, very, you know, he's more manly and smooth, but he doesn't do the Hillary. See, that was the problem with Hillary. Every time that Hillary Clinton spoke, she hit this tone. I mean, oh my God, you know, me imitating it scares me. And that's, you know, so she was just a frightful from just, you know, oh, just hearing her. But these others are dangerous. They are sheep, wolves in sheep clothing. They're coming off as soft-mannered and mild-mannered and cool-tempered. And, oh, they're just so intelligent. They're so intelligent and so, just so sound in their thinking. And we, those who disagree with what they have to say, we're just a bunch of unintelligent, uninformed morons. Yeah. You ever notice when they try to correct somebody that disagrees with them? If they come across somebody who disagrees with them, the liberals will correct them in a manner that is almost demeaning to their intelligence. And you look at them and you say, are you in your mind? And that's my quote of the day. Are you out of your mind? Because that's what I've been saying to myself over and over again. The more I go through things, the more I realize that people and the world is at the world's at its mind. The whole world. The whole entire world. But anyway, as I was telling you about the iPhone. I almost bought this thing at like $499. So for once, my being not being an impulsive buyer paid off for once. Impulse is not good. Impulse can cause a lot of problems. Well, Bill Clinton will tell you that, and a few others, right? But you should not, especially in the consumer area, though. I mean, you want to get, you know, very complicated about things, you could do that. But in the consumer spending, when you're buying things, you cannot be impulsive. Cars and technical devices and things of that nature, you just cannot be impulsive. Impulse is not good. It clouds your judgment. I'm just glad today that I learned what PDA means. It's a personal digital assistant. That's just groundbreaking, isn't it? That is the most interesting thing you've heard, right? Yeah, you know, it's a tough standard to live up to, but we'll get there. And eventually when I start doing regular shows again, that's the problem with Blog Talk Radio. If you go away for a couple weeks, it creates a problem. It's like anything else. You have to stay in the minds of people, otherwise you are forgotten. It's true. If you want to give us a call, 347-326-9037. Let us know you're listening. Yeah, personal digital assistant. Look at that. Now I can sound all smart when, you know, there's something buzzing. There's something that's been buzzing in the studio. I have no idea what the hell it is. It's not any of my phones. I have like four phones. Now with the iPhone. I did not need the iPhone. And I'll tell you another thing I didn't need to do. I didn't need to stand on that line for 5 hours or 4 hours. It was the most ridiculous thing. I will never do anything like that. I will never do it for a concert. I will never do it for somebody I want to see. It is the most miserable, grueling, horrific thing you could ever stand for 5 hours or 4 hours. It ended up being a total of 5 hours outside the Apple store. It was about four hours outside and then an hour inside. Of course, everybody was out in 15 minutes, but me, I was there for the full hour. Because, of course, the time frame is about 15 minutes to an hour to get your iPhone once you're inside. So I hit the long end of it, of course. Yeah, I was on the hour mark. For most people, it's 4 hours and 15 minutes. Yes, 45 minutes when you've been standing for the last 4 hours. Is a lot. It is a lot. Too much, right? Would you stand online for 4 hours? That's a good question. Is there anything or anyone, if you're listening and you have something or someone that you would stand online for 4 to 5 hours to see, hear, or get, give us a call. I'd love to hear from you. Like Joy Brown says, this is a good time to call. You don't say. I know. That's why I love this. Because you don't know. You know, the thing is, I don't think you could track. Can you track? Can you track who's listening? But my calendar's still on June. Can you track who's listening during the day? No, right? Not during the show? No. So, you don't even know if anybody's listening. Should I bribe you to call? I know I'm breaking the rules. You're not supposed to let anybody know you don't have callers. No, I just keep plugging the numbers because the lines are filled and I just don't feel like going to the callers. I don't like the callers. No, because you can't screen the callers. I think it'd be virtually impossible to screen callers. But anyway, the iPhone. Is there anything that you'd stand online for 5 hours, like me, who's a big moron? I acknowledge it. I own up to it. It's very rare that I do something that's nonsensical. I wonder what people, when I see people in the chat, I'm wondering what they're coming in for. I'm wondering if the content, how, you know, it's very difficult to get feedback on what's going on. You know, when you're speaking into the virtual reality world, it's much different than radio on the dial because, well, I guess, I was actually in a New York radio station in New York, a New York show, Drive Time, and the hosts could not get callers. Go figure. A big station, too. Could not get callers. Yeah. And they would They kept on coming into the control room because I was screaming and asking me, what are you doing? As if I had something to do with the people not calling. As if I was making the people not call. What are you doing? Why aren't they calling? What am I doing? Is there anything about what you're doing in there? Oh, God. That's why I'm thinking about what's going on here. There's only about 6,000 shows airing right now, right? I think I'm at the bottom of the pile somewhere. So if my shows are highly promoted, if you, I don't have a cough button. And you're not on a regular basis. You know, you lose any audience if you had any at all. And then, like me, who has like 20 archived shows of dead air, of course I'm not going to have any listeners. But you hope for one. You just may get it. That's why you're hanging there to the end. I don't know if I can keep talking to the end. 30 minutes left. From the Tom Farinella Show. If you just joined us, this is the Tom Farinella radio program. This is the most intriguing broadcast in America because, you know, one day we're talking about the war, patriotism, and heroes like soldiers fighting overseas. The next day we're talking about iPhones and mothers at grocery stores who do whatever they want and then clerks who are angry and treat customers any way they want. You know, I generally do not get offended by the way store employees treat me. I generally don't, because I cannot sort of understand what it must be like being in retail and having to deal with morons like me. No, I'm calling myself a moron now. I'm really not. No, but there are times I can be difficult. I don't take pride in that. I am just a very difficult individual. But see, the problem is I'm not difficult. I'm just coming from a place of simplicity. I just want to get into the store, buy what I have to buy, and get out. I really just don't want to be there all day. And it's not even impatience. You know, like my mom says, oh, would you just be patient? It's not about being impatient. There's no reason to be in a place longer than you have to be. I all too often am stuck in places way too long, much longer than I need to be. I mean, waiting is part of the game. I mean, you understand that. You can't help that. And generally, wherever you go, you're going to wait. Right? You have to wait. There's no way around it. I mean, the world is becoming so populated that there's just people everywhere all the time at all hours of the night. I used to love the overnight because generally there was nobody ever around. Now it seems like there's more and more people working overnight. If I had it my way, I'd do a radio show overnight by George Norrie on Coast to Coast. He is so lucky. He is so lucky. Because that would be one of the greatest jobs ever. Having an overnight radio show. The audience is very intimate at night. Everybody seems to be a little bit more low-key. The hustle and the bustle of the day is being beside us.
Cover charge where Jon Bon Jovi played his first show, $0. Getting back to where it all began, priceless.
Well,
you
the Mets
MasterCard and you
are stuck in a showdown with the worst team in baseball. Yep, you see, this is why I stopped watching the Mets. I put my hat back away, and I'm not fair weather. I've been with this team my whole life, but it gets to a point where they seesaw way too much. They're locked in a showdown with a team that's 26 games under 500. How can you take them seriously? Who cares? Even if they win. Championship teams blow out the teams that are 25 games under 500. About 25 games. Yeah, 26 games under 500. Unless tonight there will be 25. It just bothers the hell out of me. Nah, championship caliber team. But we're going to take a quick break. Being that all of you are so, the phones are ringing off the hook and we have to go answer them all. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to leave you with, let's see. You know what? This is a good song. This is the mood I'm in. Tom Farinello. We'll be right back. The Tom Farinello Show, most intriguing broadcast in America for people who just get it.
Block out thoughts of you so I don't lose my head. They're crawling like a cockroach, leaving babies in my bed. Dropping little reels of tape to remind me that I'm alone. Playing movies in my head that make a porno feel like home. There's a burning in my pride, a nervous bleeding in my brain. An ounce of peace is all I want for you. Will you never call again? And will you never say that you love me, just to put it in my face? And will you never try to reach me, it is I that want to save me today. Accomplishment that you helped me with. The one thing that always tore us apart is the one thing I won't touch again. In my sick way, I want to thank you for holding my head up late at night. While I was busy waging wars on myself, you were trying to stop the fight. You never doubted my warped opinions on things like suicidal hate. You made me compliment myself when it was way too hard to take. So I'll drive so
mind and never cross your mind. And do whatever it takes in your heart to leave me behind.
Hate me today.
And now, here's Tom Farinella.
Oh, you're a smooth talker. You are. You are.
Yes, indeed. I am the smooth talker. Tom Farinella, the Tom Farinella Radio Show. Right here at blogtalkradio.com. If you just joined us, welcome to the program. So wonderful to have you. Well, we've been talking about a whole bunch of different things today. You know, that last song, as I was thinking about it while I was listening to it, you know, this is why I think many people who listen to that song by Blue October, Hate Me Today, would think it's depressing. But it's not. If you listen to the words, I believe it's autobiographical. And it's somebody who's struggling with an addiction, and his mother, obviously, has stood by him, and he's going to make things different. Things will be better. And if it is autobiographical, look where he's at. He's in a good place, right? He's a recording artist. He's successful. And he overcame. He overcame the adversity. You know, I am one of those people to this day who still loves that hero story where a guy overcomes and busts out of the shell. In a blaze of glory, like the phoenix rising from the ashes.
nothing better. You know, and that's why this country is great. Because only in this country can that actually happen. Because of all the opportunity we have. And I don't know about for him, but for me, you know, my belief in God. And I know all of you out there are like, God. But you really want to change your life. Read some of the things in that Bible. And you know what? Nothing is impossible. My favorite story is the story about the bones, where God makes the bones come to life. But America is great because it's a place where you can go from rags to riches, where you can go from bottom to the top. Frank Sinatra once said that you have to learn to scrape the bottom of the barrel before you can appreciate being on top. And that's so true. We take so much for granted in this country. Most people can't even smile when they walk into a door, wherever the door is. They can't stop to think that maybe I should let this person go ahead. Everybody's just in a rush. Where? For what? We have so much opportunity in this country, but we forget about it. We forget about humanity, or humanity's lost on a daily basis. I think technology does something with regard to human interaction, but it's part of this amazing creature known as the human being advancing and creating. Because it is the most intelligent being on the planet. Like I said, on the planet. There are some out there who are convinced that there are UFOs. I'm not going to turn this into an overnight carny fest, but you know, if there are other things out there, so be it. But at this point in time, we're the human beings are the most intelligent forms of life on this planet, right? Because UFOs are unidentified flying objects and traditionally live not here on Earth. And like my dad always says, the body's a machine. It's the most superb machine ever built. One little hitch and forget it. Blood clot in the brain for some people. You know, or what about people who have cardiac arrest? You know, arrest. Just you know, little cut your finger or something, or you scrape yourself. The pain you feel like when you wear new shoes. Think about that. It hurts. That's only minimal. And we are in such a strange place as a world. And that's why there will be an awakening of some sort. I don't know what. I don't wish any harm on any or anything like that. But there's got to be a breaking point. I really thought it was 7 years ago, 9/11. And that's coming up on its 7th year anniversary. I really thought that American lives would change forever, but it didn't. New Yorkers are affected, I think. A lot of the New Yorkers. I mean, I was there the day of 9/11, and I really don't want to go into all that. There's plenty of that to come, but I live in the city. I've been here since August of 01. So I was, you know, I watched the whole thing go down, and I speak to New Yorkers all the time, and yeah, they're affected by it. They're definitely affected by it. But I feel like it stays within the enclave of New York. And still people are still miserable, especially in New York. But that's freedom. That's the freedom we have. Freedom, the problem is, this place called America that we have is to be maintained by its people. And it's our responsibility to do it or not. That's democracy. That's our way of life. And it stinks because there are people like me who try to do everything to make things better, to not be the run of the mill. I still fall short. That's okay, but where do we go then? What do? Do we give up? I mean, I feel like I remember when I was in Washington studying at the Catholic University of America that I was impassioned for politics. And now it's coming to the point where I can barely stomach what's become. I don't know, how do you feel about that? You think we're a humane, compassionate nation? Or do you think we're just running around in our own lives, in our own bubbles, just trying to get through each day? Is it so hard to find somebody to inspire us? Jonathan Larson, who many of you know from the great musical of Rent, wrote a musical before Rent, which was called Tick, Tick, Boom. And, you know, to this day, it's still quite remarkable. But he writes this song some time ago, I'm just trying to find. It's extremely biographical, but telling. Why do we play with fire? Why do we run our finger through the flame? Why do we leave our hand on the stove, although we know we're in for some pain? Why do we refuse to hang a light when the streets are dangerous? Why does it take an accident before the truth to get through us? Cages or wings, which do you prefer? Ask the birds. Fear or love, baby? Don't say the answer. Actions speak louder than words. Why should we try to be our best when we can just get by and still gain? Why are we not our heads, although we know the boss is wrong as rain? This is the most, and I'm just getting goosebumps, but this is the most, this is one of the best parts, best lines, best lyric of the song. Why should we blaze a trail when the well-worn path seems safe and so inviting? How, as we travel, can we see the dismay and keep from fighting? Now, here we go. And then the refrain, cages and wings, which you prefer, actions speak louder than words, but it gets even more profound. What does it take to wake up a generation? How can you make someone take off and fly? If we don't wake up and shake up the nation, we'll eat the dust of the world, wondering why. Why do we stay with lovers who we know down deep just aren't right? Why would we rather put ourselves through hell than sleep alone at night? And that's more autobiographical, but this is the key line. Why do we follow leaders who never lead? Why does it take catastrophe to start a revolution? And that is just absolutely profound. He was clearly a man ahead of his time. He died too soon, and it's a shame because he will be missed. It's a shame that he's known for Rent, because this musical is so much more than Rent in terms of substance. It just really is about the human condition. And next program, I will play the whole entire. I'll play the song for you, but it's really amazing. It's really amazing. You know, he's well known for something, but the thing that he should be well known for, just not. It's just not. I don't know, folks. I don't know. I'm an optimist, though. I really am an optimist. And I hate to say that at the end of the day, the glass is half full. Because as long as you have your mind and your health, there's nothing you can't accomplish. There's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't overcome. So that's what you need to do. Keep that glass half full. And remember that you are a person who has choices and can make decisions and has the power to do anything you want. As long as you have the determination and the follow through, you will succeed. Especially in this country.
And now, here's Tom.
Yes,
Paranella.
That's me. Yes, there we go again. We'll try this one more time. But as long as you go out there every day, be who you are, and fight for what you believe in, even if it's paper versus plastic bags, at least you believe you're committed to something. You may be incredibly misguided, but you start from a place of of at least, yes, you start from a place of intelligence. There we go again. It's going to keep on going. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up another great edition of the Tom Farinella Show, things are going off all over the place. Until next time, if you don't speak up, you'll never be heard. Thanks for listening.
Love Talk Radio.
Tom
And now, Tom Farinella.
Hello and welcome. Yes, indeed, I am Tom Farinella. This is the most intriguing broadcast in America, the Tom Farinella Radio Show, right here at blogtalkradio.com. The phone lines are open. The chat is up and running. And welcome on this wonderful 4th of July weekend. So good to have you all aboard. I can't tell you. I guess I'm patriotic. And in being patriotic,
they're up.
Log Talk Radio.
Tom Farinella.
Log Talk Radio.
Tom Farinella.
Welcome to Real Talk with Brother Neil, one of the most talked about current event shows here on Blog Talk Radio. Join me every Saturday at 12 o'clock p.m. or call in live at 646-200-0644.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm your host, Claudia Brown Mosley, and we're coming to you live. If you're tuning in, then the chat room is up and is waiting for you. And I'd like to, again, welcome everybody back. Thank you for all the support and all the love that you're giving me. While I'm on the air, and I really appreciate it. Today, we're going to have the author, Angel Michelle, and I told y'all last week, y'all go out and get the book, and we're going to have her on, and she's on the line. But before I bring her on, I want more people, you know, I don't know who, you know, may be listening now or who may not be listening, so I'm going to give my audience a little chance to get in, because, you know, I know sometimes we be running late. So I'm going to give them a little bit time to come in. So